course, you recognize those two voices, the late blues man B.B. King and folk singer-songwriter Tracy Chapman with The Thrill Is Gone. This is from King's 1997 release, B.B. King, Deuces Wild. This was a beautiful album because he partnered and featured some really incredible master musicians and singers and gave them the opportunity to participate in this album. It was great. But, of course, I'm using it in the political sense. The political thrill is gone. It went away from me a long time ago, personally, because betrayal after betrayal after betrayal, and I got sick of it. And I said, you know what? I'm not going to let these people drive me crazy. So I'm opting out. I see no reason why the political choices that we have are choices from which I should choose. I choose none. None of the above. I'm out. Y'all could do what you want. And I say this because, you know, we've gotten signals, this business of Bernie Sanders announcing he is going to run again for a third term as a U.S. Senator from Vermont. He's going to be running, not as an independent, which he says he is, but he'll be running as a Democrat with, you know, independent sensibilities. I'm looking at all of this stuff and I'm saying, you know, people are losing their minds around here. But worse, they're getting away with it. They're getting away by giving us the old bamboozle. And I think we have to step up to the plate. Somebody's got to step up to the plate and ask, what the hell are you doing? Not in the sense that, oh, we are shocked and amazed at what you're doing, but we are shocked and amazed that you think it is okay with us that you would bamboozle us and go full-fledged on your personal campaign, which is what it is. We have to ask some questions because Bernie Sanders isn't the only one. We have the Green Party. I talked about the Green Party before. To this day, nobody from the Green Party has explained that boondoggle of the Green Party, the righteous, up and above board Green Party, pulling off that old political sleight of hand, the way basic backroom Democratic politicians would do. That was a big problem. It never was addressed. And the attitude is life goes on. Just trust us that we are doing the right thing. We are the Green Party. The party of honesty and straightforwardness and all this other kind of stuff. But essentially, we see so many instances in which these so-called alternative political choices are operating with the same kind of scheming and backroom dealing, and they think it's okay. We are too stupid. We are too unsophisticated to understand the complexities of politics. And the complexities of politics sometimes require us to do some things you may not understand. Well, then explain was Bessie used to say to Lucy, "Splain." Nobody's explaining. How come we have these anomalies from time to time, big time anomalies, and nobody explains how the railroad tracks suddenly divert and the train is going down the tracks the other way? Now, when Bernie Sanders announced on Monday that he was going to seek re-election to a third term as a U.S. senator from Vermont, and everybody in Vermont associated Bernie Sanders with an independent party. He's an independent guy. He's not a Republican. He's not a Democrat. He's an independent guy. He's a conscience guy. He's a I'm for the little people guy. Well, all that is great. And the support that he got reflected the identification of the people of Vermont with somebody who deliberately is moving outside of the duopoly. That was refreshing. He talked about wages and health care and education and the burgeoning gaps between rich and poor. He talked about these social issues and was committed to the issues, even if he was the lone voice in Congress, even if he was the lone voice in Vermont talking these things and pointing out that there was a better way to go. Well, what do you know? He so excited people, especially the younger generation. They formed a support group, a means of support, and it was no insignificant thing either. They knuckled down and got money to support and to finance Bernie Sanders so he didn't have to worry about financing his campaign. They got him a team, and it went from beyond Vermont to all across the country. They were smitten with the idea that he was communicating, that this is something we must do. And the reason that Bernie Sanders' voice reverberated so loudly all across the nation with these pockets of individuals waiting for somebody to talk about these issues is because the Democratic Party wasn't. Okay, so they went for it, the Democrats, and they said, okay, so you want to run as a Democrat. That's okay. But then he said, I'll run as a Democrat, but if I win, I go back to being an independent. Okay. Well, that's a novel idea. That's an interesting idea. Because from a political point of view, you know there's got to be some deals cut somewhere. And now he says, I'm running as a Democrat. But if I win the nomination as a Democrat, I won't accept it. I'll go back to being an independent. Okay. Now, it is not as noble as it sounds. Because Brother Bernie has to answer a basic question. And the Democrats have to answer an interesting question. From my perspective, you're selling this as a novel political strategy. I don't read it as a novel political strategy. I see Bernie Sanders and the Democratic Party engaging in some election rigging. Did I say that? Yes, I did. In the end, what this boils down to is Bernie Sanders is going to run as a Democrat to block any other Democrat from running. That's election rigging, isn't it? And in the meantime, he has, you know, he has a way out. So he's going to prevent any other Democrat from running. He'll gobble up that space as the unusual morphed candidate, the guy who was an independent or is an independent, but is running as a Democrat. And the Democratic Party sees, hey, well, we're not going to lose anything. But when you think about it, think about it. This is election rigging. He's shutting out, if he runs and the Democratic Party agrees to allow him to run under their banner, it means that any other viable Democratic candidate is out. Can't think about running. So the Democratic Party is blocking other Democrats from running, and Bernie is part, not just part, Bernie is the reason. He is conspiring with the Democratic Party in this unusual arrangement. Let me run. Let me solve a problem for you. Well, I'm not a real Democrat, but I will talk about how much I identify and how the Democrats and I agree on some of these issues, which I've been talking about for years and years and years. But that's not the problem. That's not the issue. So I see it. The issue is, we have some nasty political finessing going on here. The Democratic Party, you have to really think about this. The Democratic Party is allowing an interloper to legitimately take up the space of a candidate, any candidate, who qualifies, according to the Democrats' own rules, to run. How do you get this done? And tell the people that you're above board. You must think that we're idiots. This is election rigging. I don't care what they say. If you're so principled, if you're so enlightened and honest and principled, you just run. Run as an independent. What's wrong with that? But no. He and the Democrats have cut a deal to cut out other Democrats, so that he could run and basically he gets all the goodies. He gets the benefit of being an independent and a Democrat at the same time. But most importantly, the person who talks so much about democracy has no problem conspiring with the Democratic Party to block out any other Democrat so that he is the only candidate running. What do you call that, ladies and gentlemen? That's right. It's good old-fashioned backroom dealing and it's good old-fashioned election rigging. The Democrats aren't saying anything about it. Nobody has explained this unusual arrangement. Nor has anybody been saying, hey, wait a minute. How could an independent, a guy so principled, and a guy so forthright, a guy so, you know, he believes so strongly in democracy. Your very campaign, in fact, your campaigns that brought you victory have been as a result of this, which I call election rigging. You could call it whatever you want. Which brings me to the other part of it, which is we haven't heard a peep from all those idealists who surrounded Bernie Sanders as the people who are launching our revolution. What revolution? If your revolution is going to be based on the old nasty ways of the Democratic Party, that's what people are trying to get away from. And you butter it up and you shine it up and you present it to the American people. You're raising money to support this, which fundamentally is wrong. And at the very least, we are owed an explanation of how the Democratic Party, the Our Revolution movement, and Sanders himself, how did they work out this arrangement, this neat arrangement? Well, somebody has to give up something. We know the Democrats gave up something because they had nothing going. And they were willing because, you know, it's a Democratic Party. They're not accustomed to doing things above board. They put a block on any Democratic Party member wanting to give a shot at elections. You're out. We got Bernie. And as soon as he's done with the election, he's going to go back to being an independent. This is nasty. It's so wrong. But more importantly, it is, I insist that we look at it this way, it is rigging elections, and he's done it before. Now he's so brazen about it, and so clear and confident that nothing would happen, he's embellished it a bit. I'm going to run. If I win the nomination, I won't accept it. I'll go back to being Bernie, the contrite, humble people guy. You think about that. And somebody's got to demand an answer. And when you start out in a situation like this and you proceed because you're so confident that the public is so stupid that it would never, ever raise a question about this, you don't have to worry. You got it in the bag. This is the same man. Remember, I warned you guys early on to watch him. I said, watch this guy. He weren't listening to me. But he isn't the only one. And the reason I'm bringing this up is because we have a bunch of charlatans posing as progressives. Fully confident that we will not take them to task because they are fighting the good fight. They're fighting the enemy, so they get a pass. And we don't need to raise questions like that, questions about principles. I remember how uncomfortable it was when I raised a question about the Green Party and Jill Stein. What the heck are you doing raising money in the name of demanding a recount for Hillary Clinton? Because the party is so principled, no matter how, no matter what circumstances brought about the disfranchisement of voters, the Green Party magnanimously wants the security of knowing, all of us knowing, that everything went well. The vote was conducted properly and the outcome was above board. I asked the obvious question. You have no standing in this case. I said that from the beginning. You have no standing. You didn't even get one half of 1% of the votes. You have no reason to demand anything in the way of a recount. So how come all of a sudden you're interested in a recount? And you're interested in a recount in those particular states where Hillary Clinton didn't even campaign. You ought to know what the laws are around recounts. You don't just say we want a recount. And you are nowhere close to the winner of the race in terms of number of votes, so that you can sustain an argument that, well, we were close, so close, that if we have a recount, we believe strongly it would show that we either tied in this election or we won the election. You have no grounds whatsoever. You have no dog in this fight. All of a sudden, you are blazing the trail as a champion of democracy and of all people. And we know that that did not pass the smell test. We know that there was a deal cut somewhere, and the idea was because Clinton had no prayer, no prayer. She could not make the case at all that she came close enough to the votes, to the winner's votes, sorry, that she had reason to believe that she was denied a win because the votes were not counted right. She had no case. But Jill Stein decided to place at Hillary Clinton's disposal the Green Party and all that it stands for and all that it is hoping to accomplish at the behest of one of the most reprehensible candidates you could find on this planet. She still hasn't explained that. Nor has the Green Party officially explained what it did or why it felt compelled to raise all these millions of dollars to back a totally unnecessary lawsuit, which they could have told themselves from the beginning, there was no prayer. They had no reason. They had no defense. So this was a backroom deal. And nobody, as far as I know, I don't remember getting notices that the Green Party called an emergency session to closely question Jill Stein about this move of depleting the already small resources that the party has in this frivolous adventure. And it is a lie. It was a lie, totally. Jill Stein was a running horse in this situation for Hillary Clinton. Clinton was being beaten badly. And they needed all the help they could get to keep her still in the minds of the public as a worthy candidate. She ran a lousy campaign, period. But that doesn't concern me, because the Clintons... We've done enough programs to illustrate the point about the Clintons and what they will do in the cause of winning. The question was raised with regard to the actions of Jill Stein. And it seems from the outside, I may not know everything at all, but it seemed like an arbitrary decision, not reflective of the party. It had the distinct feeling of somebody who decided to just do whatever it is she wanted to do, whether it was confluent with the party's principles or not. And then we have the old-fashioned quid pro quo, which is typical of the Democrats. Under the table arrangements, we don't know whether there were any, and if so, what were they? But we haven't gotten an explanation of that. That's just two examples. And I raise these two examples because in each case, we have a party insisting that it be regarded for what it says it is. And more importantly, what it says it is not. It is not the Democratic Party. It is not the crime-ridden, corrupt Democratic Party. But it has a very, very strong stench to it right now. So it doesn't concern me at the moment what Bernie Sanders decides to do. It concerns me what the party decides to do. And what the people who are supporting the party decide to do. It had that familiar stench of Jesse Jackson's runs in 1984 and 1988. The irony is that Jesse Jackson could have been a spectacular departure from the norm. As a neophyte politician, he performed pretty well in 1984 as a first-time candidate. But then Jesse got an idea. Hey, whichever way this goes, I could make money. And then he became almost totally derisive of the very constituency that was supporting him. Jesse should have built by now, and by the time he decided to run, Jesse should have built his own movement, just like the movement that sprang up around Bernie Sanders. But that's hard work. He wants quick fame and quick access to money beyond even the election. So that by 1988, when he ran again for President of the United States, he became even more avaricious and more concerned with himself and his own apparatus for creating wealth, enormous wealth. Yes, he would enjoy being elected. And he did surprisingly well in 1988. But people saw what really was the motivation. And as many people did identify, and they wanted him to succeed. This was not what Jesse, in fact, wanted. It was too much work. He had done his time in the civil rights movement and in this cause and that cause, all of which, by the way, came under inquiry, especially as it related to missing funds. But you see, when people have an agenda that they're not sharing, we are not aware of what's really providing the energy behind the run. And although they present themselves as principled people, they end up doing very unprincipled things. And what's worse is they expect to get away with it. Nobody's supposed to answer, to ask them any questions. Nobody's supposed to raise any suspicions about what is going on. But I tell you, this is part of the service that the new politics demands. We have a right to closely question people who have taken on the responsibility, at least this is what they tell us, of leadership. Well, with leadership comes accountability. And being, quote, progressive, unquote, does not exempt you from close scrutiny. So, on the matter of Bernie Sanders, I'm out. I'm done. Because I'm getting from Bernie Sanders some very troubling messages. Yes, I don't doubt at all, because his whole professional career attests to it, that he's genuinely interested in creating a better world. I don't doubt that. But I don't think he has left the other world too far behind. And he has to explain himself questions need to be asked and answered, because this move just ain't smelling right. Let's take a break and come back to your observations and your take on what this is all about right after this. Real is gone. Real is gone where for good. Lead stories on PRN.FM. I'm Eutrice Lead, and your questions and comments and observations and analyses, your offerings at 888-874-4888. Yeah, I know I've been kind of rough on Bernie, but he needs it. He needs it. He really does. 888-874-4888. Jeff from New Jersey, you're on the air.
Hi, how are you doing today? Besides not having any thrills, but hope everything is all right down there. As I look at the moving pieces, Hillary Clinton comes out and starts talking anti-establishment. You have a bunch of Democrats that are running as anti-establishment or progressives. But the thing is, they still didn't leave the Democratic Party. They're going against the grain of the Democratic Party, but they still haven't left the Democratic Party, which is important in identifying who is true and who is not true. I believe that this deal was cut, that Bernie wouldn't run for president, but that he would run unopposed in New Hampshire, and that there would be an increase in his platform on a Democratic platform, which is what you're seeing with these
The point I was making goes to what he didn't run unopposed. It was arranged that he would run unopposed.
Yes, yeah, that's good.
That's what I mean. That is, to me, election rigging. You can't call it anything else.
Yeah, well, you had a double rigging going on because that assures Hillary Clinton the Democratic nominee for president in 2020. So that's, you know, that seems to be that what looks to me, if you're watching the moving pieces, it looks to be a trade-off. You see how she changed her language and her, you know, and some of the other Democrats, again, in key races started changing their language and what they were talking about and started talking about more issues that Bernie Sanders supporters were concerned about. I think he was squeezed out. And I think his last bit of defiance is saying that he will go back to being independent if he got the nomination. And yes, it is a rigging of the election. But I think it would have done the same thing to him this coming election as president, as he would have done as they did the last one, because you know Bernie was 10 points ahead of Hillary and Donald Trump. He would have beaten both of them combined. So. And he didn't get the Democratic nomination. But I think that was coming down the pike again. And he chose maybe, and just maybe, he chose what he might have thought was the higher road, which is push his, the people that supported him to push their agenda and to make the Democratic Party promise to push that agenda so that he promised not to run. And then the other payoff was, I don't think anyone would have beaten him in Vermont, New Hampshire, where he was from. I don't think anyone would have beaten him whether he ran as a Democrat or independent. So that to me was just really, you know, conciliatory. But I just see the moving pieces, and as the Democratic Party's trying to change face, you know, they're still a Democratic Party. But again, what we need to do is, if Bernie offended you, you know, not just you, but and about the, you know, no one asking these questions, is we don't have a media that's going to ask these questions, because pretty much they're controlled by powers that be. And the only way that we can probably show this distaste for this is to not vote for him and not support him anymore, you know, not support that two-party system. Again, we need to go to a viable third party. I don't understand what the I think what the Green Party was trying to do by going to bat for Hillary Clinton was to not have Donald Trump. They thought she was a lesser of the two evils.
Whatever the Green Party was trying to do, the fact is that it has a process which it just did not adhere to.
Right.
Jill Stein went off on her own and decided this is what she's going to do, because by then a deal was cut. But, you know, the idea was that if you're having a movement and you supposedly are the candidate of the movement, you cannot compromise the movement in these ways. And if you do, we expect at least one thing, is that you will be questioned and you would be expected to give some kind of explanation as why you ran off the rails. And number two, I think you should be publicly censored, and people should have the ability to just walk away. We're sick of this. This is why people are looking for alternative parties, and you acted worse than the regulars. Thank you so much for getting us started, Jay. Thank you. Not Jay, Jeff. Thank you so much. Jay is, he's gone. Tony from Orlando, you're on the air.
Hi, Therese. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you for calling.
You're welcome. As far as the rigging of, you know, the deal-making that Bernie Sanders is doing with the Democrat Party, everybody knows this political system is rigged, especially on the Democrat Party. When Hillary Clinton was winning all of these so-called super delegates while Bernie Sanders was winning all the votes. Now that he's made a deal with the devil and joined the Democrat Party, he needs to be pressed and asked, or the Democrat Party itself needs to be asked, what are they going to do about that issue as far as the superdelegates? Because I don't know if I know that the DNC has a new chairperson, Tom Perez. I don't know if they've changed the rules as far as superdelegates are concerned, but that was one of the key tools that the Democrat Party used to rig the election.
Yes, but we, in a way, that is not the number one item on our agenda today. The number one item on our agenda is getting answers for these irregular actions being taken. We have no answers. And so the third parties, which are being looked to as viable alternatives, are conducting business as usual, free and clear. They're just totally unregulated. And the people who are believing that they are supporting a healthy alternative to the Democratic Party or to the duopoly really are not. This is the question. The dilemma is for the people. What do you do?
Exactly.
Do you stay or do you go?
At this point, I think it's like what you said. You know, you just can't vote for either nobody, it seems like, because the duopoly is so strong that they just gobble up these little third-party parties. You know, they just gobble them up. They throw. In the case of Jill Stein, she got paid off to do her Hillary's dirty work. That whole recall was to, like you said, you know, contest the election for Hillary. It had nothing to do with the Green Party. That was obvious to everybody. And you know, and in turn, she got paid off for that, you know, millions of dollars. She was asking for donations, which who knows, those recalls didn't even require that kind of money. Where did that money go? And people were actually giving her money for a recall, which was ridiculous. You know, this past election, I mean, there was so much corruption in the faces of everybody. But that's why I say, as far as Bernie Sanders is concerned, he needs to be pushed now and say, what are you going to do now to fix all the corruption? Now that you've joined them, what are you going to do to change all the corruption?
I say the issue isn't even Bernie Sanders anymore.
The issue is
that we know what he has done to accommodate himself, to accommodate the Democratic Party. We know that. We don't need to ask Bernie Sanders what is he going to do. The question is, what are we going to do?
Well, I think at this point, it's sad to say, but we have to abstain from the election because that's what it's come to in this country, that we have no confidence in either party or in any other third party that's running, because
we have to ask questions. We don't need to ask Bernie why did he do it and when did he do it. These are immaterial questions at this moment. What we want to know more than anything else is, what's our next move?
And like you said, Bernie, as far as the next move, he's not the guy.
No. This is our question now. What's next for the people who placed their trust in these entities? What should they now do? You want explanations? That's not even important anymore. That's not important. Because you're going to get another round of silliness when they give you the explanations and we start arguing about the explanations. No, we are considering the question that is on the table is, what next do you do?
Well,
and that's a tough question for a lot of people.
It is. And I don't have that answer. I'm sorry, Yitri.
Well, neither do I, but it is something that we seldom really raise questions about. What is our responsibility? When you made, as a voter, an investment in a party or in a person or whatever it is you want to see it as, and this is what you get, what are you compelled now to do? Thanks a lot.
I don't know. It's a tough pill.
Thank you. E from Edgewater, you have just a few minutes.
Hello. Good afternoon, Yatrice.
Thank you, and good afternoon to you.
Yeah, I think that what we have to do is not vote. I explain this, and to me it made a lot of sense. I mean, how can you explain when you got two candidates? Wait, before I start that, wasn't Bernie saying he was a socialist Democrat? Wasn't that what he was saying? I don't know where this independent thing came from.
Yes, he's a socialist.
Socialist Democrat. When he was running against Hillary and making promises that he knew he couldn't keep, but he knew he wasn't going to win, so he could make all the promises. He could have said, I'm giving $1 million to every citizen in the United States if you vote for me, because it didn't matter what he was saying. He knew he wasn't going to win. He was just in it to give somebody to run against Hillary that Hillary could beat. Now, Trump could not beat anybody except crooked Hillary. So that's why Hillary was in the race. She wasn't there to win either. If she was interested in winning, then she would have asked for a recount.
Don't theorize about an election that already has happened. We knew the outcome and so forth. Now, the question is, based on the most recent developments, I gave you two examples, and we should consider them as pointed questions for the constituencies affected by them. What do you do? You have somebody who, to this day, has not explained the process within the party that allowed her to go off on the on her own and see to the integrity of the votes by supporting Hillary Clinton and her
Everybody thinks. Yeah, everybody thinks Jill Stein was helping Hillary. That's totally wrong. Jill Stein was trying to expose this voting system that they do not count the votes. It's all rigged. It was rigged for Donald Trump to win. I thought it was rigged for Hillary to win for that whole time. And then I was surprised to see. But if you look at the whole thing, then you see it all makes sense. Jill Stein was trying to expose the system when she asked for a recount because they weren't expecting anybody to ask for a recount. They only got half a percentage. How could the Green Party get less votes in this election with the two worst candidates in the history of politics running than she did against when she ran against Obama and McCain and Obama and Romney? How is it possible? We're not thinking. We're not putting our brain caps on and thinking.
But she is
it's not possible.
She was not contesting. She was not contesting for the Green Party. She was.
Yes.
First of all, they had no legal standing. You get less
that's
than one half of percent of the vote. You
that's
have
the
no
whole point
legal
of my
standing.
Argument, though. How could it be possible? You're not answering my question. How could the Green Party get less votes? And don't forget, Obama wasn't running in this election. So where did the 96%?
There are many reasons why things go the wrong way, or they just go the way that people don't expect. There are many reasons. But in this specific instance, we are asking the question, what led to the decision by the Green Party to conduct a fundraising campaign in order to, quote, protect the integrity of the vote in three states that Hillary Clinton never even bothered to campaign much in, and it was not for the benefit of the Green Party? That's the question. What you do now. Well, that brings us to the end of our program today. Thank you so much for listening and contributing. Tomorrow, of course, is Free Your Mind Friday, so we may have a spillover on Friday. Stay tuned. Coming up next, Expanding Mind with Eric Davis, and we'll see each other tomorrow. Thanks so much for listening.